Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our psychology unit for today. We're all talking about the mind and what it can do, how we can use our thoughts to help us out. And, of course, today we're talking about something that you might be feeling, post-vacation blues. Maybe you recently had a holiday or a vacation to someplace really nice. It's like cold right now. So spending some time on a beach in the Philippines or Indonesia might be just what the doctor ordered.
You know, it's nice to have a change of pace. You know, if it's cold where you are, it's nice to get away and have a little bit of sun. It's just nice to have a break from having to wake up early, having to get to work, you know, having a schedule. I like just being able to take a couple days off sometimes and relax. So sometimes when people come back from vacation, they feel a little down. Nobody likes to go back to work. Sometimes vacations, though, can be the opposite. And when you get back home, you're kind of relieved that you can just go back to just regular life, because sometimes vacations are very busy and, you know, you end up doing too much. That happens sometimes. But we're going to talk about post-vacation blues. Anytime you see post added to a word, especially in front of the word, it just means after. I was talking to a friend the other day about postpartum blues or postpartum depression. Moms sometimes get depressed after a baby. So you'll often see this word post, just meaning after. We're going to talk about how you can get those blues to just go away, that sad feeling you have after a vacation. Right now, though, we're going to read through today's lesson.
Just a few days ago, you were stretched out on a lounge chair, gazing out onto the Pacific and sipping a nice tea. Now that you're back from your week-long vacation, you should feel refreshed, but instead, you've got the blues, the post-vacation blues. Though such bouts of sadness and fatigue may not be a medically recognized syndrome, the post-vacation blues can really put a damper on our spirits. According to statistics, around 30% of people who go on vacation experience symptoms of post-vacation blues. But what causes them? When we're on vacation, we engage in pleasurable activities that we don't typically have time for. We find ourselves indulging in food, overscheduling, and sleeping less. This is why people who suffer from post-vacation blues often complain of exhaustion, lack of appetite, insomnia, lack of motivation, and depression. What's more, the longer you are on vacation, the harder it is to adjust back to your day-to-day life. While it's normal to feel a bit miserable in these circumstances, there are some things we can do to take the edge off of a vacation ending. Ease the transition into everyday life by returning a few days before you go back to work or school. This way, you can give yourself time to adapt. It can also help to schedule some exciting post-vacation events to look forward to upon your return. While you're on vacation, you should use the time to evaluate what isn't working in your life and address it. By doing so, you can turn your everyday routine into one you don't feel you need to escape from.
Okay, guys, let's get started. It's our psychology unit, and we're talking about those post-vacation blues some people get. You know, when you come back from vacation and you have to start back at work and you're into, you know, real life again, sometimes it's a little depressing. That's what we're talking about. So just a few days ago, here's our scenario. Picture this in your minds. You were stretched out on a lounge chair, gazing out onto the Pacific and sipping an iced tea. Sounds nice to me, too. So if you're stretched out, just means your legs and arms are all just outstretched. They're away from your body. You're feeling very relaxed. You're on a lounge chair. A lounge chair is the type of chair that you see on beaches when people are laying out trying to get a suntan, or maybe next to the pool. Or if you've been lucky enough to go on a cruise, they'll often have those lounge chairs on, you know, the upper deck that you can lay out on and read and get some sun. That's a lounge chair. And if you're gazing, you're just looking for quite a while, you're staring at something for a long time. And we often use that verb to gaze when we're looking out into the distance or maybe up into the stars at night to gaze at a star. And if you're out onto the Pacific, we're referring to the Pacific Ocean. We're just not adding ocean onto that. And you're also sipping an iced tea. It sounds pretty nice.
Right, or maybe a piña colada or anything like that. So again, this is happening in the Pacific Ocean, maybe in the Philippines, Hawaii, even here in Taiwan, on a beach there, looking out onto the ocean, feeling nice and relaxed. And I guess that vacation is all over because that was just a few days ago. So now that you're back from your week-long vacation, you should feel refreshed, but instead you've got the blues, the post-vacation blues. So, okay, now that you're back, you have returned, you should feel refreshed. That's the logical conclusion. I just had this vacation. It was a week-long vacation. I was there for a week. So, yes, I'm back to my normal life. But, hey, I should feel nice and refreshed, ready to go again, nice and happy. But, no, that's not the case. I've got the blues. And more specifically, I've got the post-vacation blues. Okay, so the blues, of course, are feelings of sadness, and we often say this, oh, I've got the start school blues or something, which means I'm kind of sad because school started and summer vacation is over. But in this particular case, it's post-vacation blues, the feeling of sadness that you have after your vacation or your holiday has ended.
Yeah, sometimes people will have the after Christmas blues, or here in Taiwan, it would be after the Chinese New Year blues, because, you know, that's a nice break that you get away from all your stress and troubles. We're going to move on to the next paragraph. It has, though such bouts of sadness and fatigue may not be a medically recognized syndrome, the post-vacation blues can really put a damper on our spirits. Oh, this article has some really great phrases, guys. So a bout of something. A bout is actually used as a measure word for us. You could have a bout of illness, a bout of...
depression.
A bout of depression, yeah. Yeah, a bout of sadness is kind of like having a round of sadness or a period of sadness. That's just what that word is there, bout, B-O-U-T. So, yeah, you can go through such bouts of sadness or periods of sadness. And fatigue here just means extreme tiredness. You could say, oh, I'm feeling very fatigued lately. Or typically I would say I'm feeling exhausted lately. I'm feeling really tired. But fatigue here is being used as a noun, of course. But you can feel fatigued, or you look fatigued. And it's just another way to say someone's looking very tired. If you want to, you know, just add some new vocabulary words into your vocabulary, that's a good way to do it. Get a couple of words that mean the same thing, and then try using the new word so that it sticks in your mind a little more.
Yeah, fatigue also can refer to weakness, like metal fatigue, or I could say the bridge collapsed because of metal fatigue. The metal was weak, so therefore the bridge collapsed. But in this particular case, we're talking about a period of tiredness, a bout of sadness, a bout of fatigue. And it may not be a medically recognized syndrome, but this particular condition, the post-vacation blues, can really put a damper on our spirits. So here, syndrome here is a kind of a medical condition, some sort of disorder that you might have, like Williams syndrome or carpal tunnel syndrome. These are just little problems that your body might have and might require medical attention. So it's not really a medically recognized syndrome or a problem or a disease, but post-vacation blues can really put a damper on our spirits. So, yeah, it's just basically feeling sad after a vacation. You can't really take any medication for this. It's not a recognized disease, disorder, or syndrome.
Yeah, unfortunately, but it's real. A lot of us have experienced it. And when you talk about something putting a damper on something, A damper was some sort of tool. It was some sort of device that was used to help put out a fire in your fireplace. If you didn't want the fire so big, you would actually adjust the damper in your fireplace. That's where it came from originally. But to put a damper on something is just to reduce it. So pretend you have a fire going on in your kitchen. You probably will take, you know, some sort of lid or towel and put it over that fire to put that fire out. You want to reduce it. Well, if you put a damper on something, you make it less whatever it is. So if you're feeling really happy and somebody puts a damper on your mood, they're making you feel less happy. That's not a good thing. So if someone puts a damper on something, they're not really adding to the joy of the party. They're actually making it worse or taking all the fun out of something. So these post-vacation blues, feeling depressed, can kind of make you feel less happy, less enthusiastic about going to work, especially.
Some people might feel happy and excited after the vacation, and they can continue feeling that way.
Yeah.
But other people get back to work. Oh, no. Back to the same old job, the same old people, the same old boring routine. So, indeed, this can put a damper on our spirits. And according to statistics, around 30% of people who go on vacation experience symptoms of post-vacation blues. But what causes them? So according to statistics, these are mathematical figures that are gathered by various organizations to try to answer a certain question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the smoking rate for 20-year-olds? Okay, they go out and ask people, do you smoke? And then they write up the figures, and then they have a report. Those are the statistics or the numbers that they come up with.
Yeah, so according to these numbers or figures, around 30% of people who go on vacation, or one-third of the people who go on vacation, experience symptoms of post-vacation blues. So we've talked about syndrome, you know, having some sort of medical defect or disorder problem. Symptoms are what gives doctors an idea that something's wrong. For example, you can have a cold and the symptoms are sneezing, a runny nose, maybe a headache. Those are just symptoms. They're not the actual cold itself, the virus that is causing it. So the symptoms, what are some of the signs of post-vacation blues? So we've had people who experience these things, you know, just kind of not wanting to go to work, feeling down. But what causes them? We're going to talk about the cause behind the post-vacation blues, what's actually making you feel this way. But first, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
Hello, my name is Shelby. 收假症候群。我们看第一题的题目。第一题呢，空格是放在句首，表示它是连接词或者副词。上句说到他躺在躺椅上伸展身躯，表示是很轻松的。接着空格后面有提到 you are back 是现在时，表示你是从假期回来，应该感到 refreshed 神清气爽的。整个句子的文意是怎么样刚度假回来，你看起来精神很好。所以上下两句有因果关系。选项 A, now that 是既然 ,B, even though 虽然 ,C, unless 除非 ,D, in case 万一。所以答案我们选 A, now that 既然。要提醒同学一下 ,now that 是一个连接词表示既然，所以不要分开看成 now 加 that 子句。当然你可以用 since 来代替。第二题，大约有 30% 的人会度假去，结果怎么样？症状约 30% 的人都会得到。那四个选项中都是 experience 的各种形态。我们发现句子中没有动词，所以呢这个空格应该要放动词。当主词是什么什么 of 什么的时候，如果在 of 的前面是类似 30% 或者2/3这种数字形态，那么我们的主词单复数就要由 of 后面这个名词来决定。在这题当中是 of people 是复数，所以它的突印的动词 experience 也要是复数，答案选 C。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson for today. We've defined what post-vacation blues are, but, you know, what are the symptoms and what causes these symptoms? Well, here in the third paragraph it says, when we're on vacation, we engage in pleasurable activities that we don't typically have time for. So normally when we're working and going to school and stuff like that, we, you know, have time to go out with friends for dinner and stuff like that, and maybe chang karaoke, sing karaoke on the weekends or something like that. But that's fun, but it's just not as fun as going to a beach somewhere or getting away from it all and going shopping in an exotic country or something like that. Those are really great times. So those are pleasurable activities. Something that produces pleasure is pleasurable. It's quite pleasurable to go sunbathing, for example. And we don't really have time for these kinds of activities. Normally.
So you kind of are indulging yourself. You're doing all the things you don't get a chance to do when you're just busy living life. To indulge, this is a verb we're going to use here. It's to give in to some desire that you have and allow yourself to do what you long to do, but you usually don't let yourself do. For example, if you're a dieter like I am eternally, sometimes you'll indulge yourself and go have, you know, a couple of pieces of chocolate cake or your favorite dessert. Or maybe you don't like to go shopping because you know you shouldn't spend money, but you indulge yourself and you go and buy yourself a new suit or a new dress to make yourself feel better. That's indulging yourself. You can indulge yourself in lots of things and food. Overscheduling? Ooh, that's not fun. But sometimes that's what you do in real life. You overschedule, you sleep less, all those things can actually make your vacation very tiring. Think about it. I mean, usually these are things that you would do in real life, not indulge in food, but overschedule and sleep less. But sometimes we pack our vacations too full of things.
I remember when I went to Bali with my wife many years ago, she just kept dragging me to all these performances because she said, hey, you know, we don't get to see this stuff back in Taiwan, right. So we might as well go see them. And gee, we saw so many performances of Barong and Legong and Kichak. Fire dance, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. You know, the Kichak fire dance there in Bali there. But in any case, yeah, we had to go to that stuff all the time, and I was getting exhausted. We had a nice hotel. I kept thinking, why can't we just stay here and relax and sit in the sun and have some nice bintang beer or something like that and have some various local dishes? But no, we had to overschedule things, and of course, we slept less. You know, we leave early in the morning from the hotel and come back late at night.
I don't like that.
Yeah, that can be quite exhausting. So this is why people who suffer from post-vacation blues often complain of exhaustion, lack of appetite, insomnia, lack of motivation, and depression. Now, after we returned from Bali, I don't think I felt that bad, but I do kind of remember feeling kind of tired. Gee, I don't think I really had a vacation there. That was a lot of work. I need to do that again. But, of course, I've always got a big appetite. I'm always fighting weight loss. Insomnia means you can't sleep. Lack of motivation. Oh, I don't want to do anything. I just want to stay in bed. I hate going to work. And depression. Oh, I feel so sad. Maybe I should go see a psychiatrist.
Yeah. Now, this next sentence has a very familiar grammar pattern. The more you do something, the more, and then whatever it is that follows. So the more I think about eating at a night market, the more I want to go and actually buy those tasty treats at the night market. So what's more, the longer you're on vacation, the harder it is to adjust back to your day-to-day life. Yeah, I can see how that's true. So if you have a very long vacation, it's even tougher when you get back home. To adjust means you have to fit back into something that maybe you don't fit in with yet. For example, if you go to America on vacation, when you get back, it's hard to adjust to the time difference. It's very hard for me. This last trip, it took me almost 3 weeks before I was sleeping normally. It was horrible. I kept getting up at 3 a.m. So I'd go to bed at 7 p.m. It was weird. Yeah, I'm finally getting out of that. So yeah, it just is harder to adjust. You have to adjust if you go to a new school for the first time, getting to know people. So kind of fitting in. That's the meaning of that word adjust here.
Okay, so here in the next paragraph it says, while it's normal to feel a bit miserable in these circumstances, there are some things we can do to take the edge off of a vacation ending. So yes, it's normal to feel a little miserable when you experience these circumstances. However, there are some things you can do. Miserable here is just another word for feeling sad, maybe a little depressed. It's not as bad as being depressed, but it is, you know, kind of sad, kind of unhappy, and you might need someone to come over and help you snap out of it and be happy again. Otherwise, you're going to be in the doldrums.
Yeah, miserable is also a word we use if you're sick, you know, and just nothing feels good. You can't even sleep, perhaps maybe because you're sneezing or your throat hurts or you're aching, just miserable. So it's hard if you're miserable. So you need to find a way to ease into the transition of everyday life. Transition means changing from one thing to another. I remember when I was growing up, there was a commercial on TV for eyeglasses that were clear if you were inside a room, but that would change into sunglasses once you went outside in the sun. They were called transition lenses. The lens is the glass part in your eyeglasses. So to transition, to change from one thing or one situation to another easily. Some people transition well from one stage of life to another and some don't. Sometimes you need to ease into something means to slowly do it. Don't do it too suddenly. Sometimes you just need to return a few days before you have to go back to work or school. I do that this last vacation. I actually gave myself about 4 or 5 days, and I didn't tell anybody I was in Taiwan.
Yeah, that's a good idea, especially if you're coming back from Europe or the USA.
Yeah, you're tired.
Because you're tired and you need to get used to the time change. You need to adjust to the new time zone, for example. So that's one suggestion here. This way you can give yourself time to adapt or to adjust, and it can also help to schedule some exciting post-vacation events to look forward to upon your return. So if you're leaving from Taiwan and going to, say, Europe or South Africa or wherever, when you come back home to Taiwan, realize that there are lots of interesting things you can do here. You can go to Taiping Shan and go hiking in the mountains. You can go down in Kending. You can see Taroko Gorge. Yes, schedule those things after you get back. Don't take them for granted, and you'll be able to still feel happy after you get back.
So those are some good words of advice there. You need to give yourself time. You can also, you know, have something to look forward to. Maybe schedule some exciting things, maybe some trips with friends when you get back, after you've been back maybe a week. Something that you can look forward to once you get back. So while you're on vacation, you should use the time to evaluate what isn't working in your life and address it. That's pretty smart advice there, too. When you evaluate something, you're judging it. So if it's in your own life, you have to, you know, kind of think deeply, be pretty honest with yourself, see if there's anything that you need to fix in your life so that you can be happier. And by doing this, you can turn your everyday routine into one you don't feel you need to escape from, that you can feel happy coming back home to. That's a big, important feeling right there.
It is. And hey, there's the word every day there, which I want to point out. Every day here is an adjective, an everyday routine, your everyday life. So if you say every day, you can say, I go to school every day.
Mm-hmm.
Two words. Right. But if you say, going to school is my everyday routine, then it's one word.
It's an adjective.
I just wanted to point that out. Native speakers make that mistake all the time as well. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation. Hopefully you won't feel this way after your vacation, and hopefully we'll feel nice and happy listening now to our Chinese teacher.
第三题, 当我们度假的时候, 我们怎么样愉快地活动? Pleasurable 是由 pleasure 愉快 加 able 形成的, 表示令人愉快的。 We 呢, 是主词, 后面是活动, 是一个受词, 表示空格 是要一个 动词, 而且要搭配愉快的活动。 选项 A, put off, 延后, B, engage in, 参与, C, look after, 照顾, D, run into, 偶然遇到。 度假的时候当然是从事愉快的活动。 所以这题选 B, engage in, 参与。第四题 ,complain of a blank, 就是要抱怨什么事情。上一句呢，人们出去度假又吃又喝 ,sleeping less, 睡得很少。这一句呢，收假症候群的人抱怨什么事情。空格呢，是同时放在 lack of appetite, 没食欲 ,insomnia, 失眠等等这些性质相似的字后面。所以呢，我们看选项 A, simplicity, 是简单 B, exhaustion, 是疲惫 C, philosophy, 哲学 D, intention, 意图。根据文意，我们当然是选 B, exhaustion, 它跟 depression 这些性质是很相似的，所以这题答案选 B, exhaustion。 第五题，空格之后接着转变回日常生活 by 借由提早几天回来。那这句话呢，缺乏主词和动词两个元素，而空格只能放一个东西，也就是说空格五应该放原形动词，它省略了主词，形成了祈使句。四个选项都是 is 的不同形态，既然是要祈使句，那我们当然句首放原形动词，所以这题答案选 D。 第六题，以这种方式你可以给自己一些时间怎么样？ This way 方式前面可以加个 in 来表示以这种方式。好，我们看选项 A, adapt 是适应，B, remain, 剩余 C, transport, 运送 D, shiver, 颤抖的意思。依照文意，我们应该选 A, adapt, 适应。适应什么东西？后面呢，要加一个介系词 to, adapt to something, 但是这里后面没有受词，所以我们只要选一个 adapt, 答案 A。 第七题，当你在度假的时候，你应该利用时间去 evaluate 什么东西 isn't working in your life。 evaluate 是评估， isn't working 表示没有用，不起作用。那么你就要想一想，当初您在工作的时候，什么东西你还没有处理完毕。所以呢，我们现在整个句子要放在 evaluate 的后面，表示要当 evaluate 的受词。而 isn't working 有动词，表示前面又需要一个主词，也就是说我们在 evaluate 后面要加的事情，所以选项我们选 C, what, 因为它是一个复合关系代名词， what 等于 the thing that。 以上是今天的讲解，谢谢收听。
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Hey, enjoy your vacation if you're going on vacation. And hopefully you won't catch the post-vacation blues when you get back. There are a lot of things you can do to prevent that. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
See ya.